We turn in God's Word tonight to Proverbs 30. The text tonight will be verses 8 and 9. We'll read the first 14 verses of the chapter. The words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy. The man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text tonight is found in verses 8 and 9. The second part of verse 8, where we read, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. As we come together tonight for our prayer day worship service, there are some questions that we face that are related to the text that we consider tonight. Are we praying earnestly for our daily bread? Do we cast our earthly cares upon our Father, knowing our complete dependence upon Him for all things, including the things of this earth that we need? If you were to receive a layoff notice, or you have found that there is less work, or when the bills begin to mount, and there doesn't seem to be enough to pay all those bills, what do we do, or what would we do in those moments? Or what about when we plan our yearly budget, or we sit down and we consider how much we are to give to the Lord of what He has given to us? What should we do at those times? Do we at those times go to God in prayer? Do we go asking for our daily bread and asking as well for the wisdom that is needed to know what we are to give and how we are to set up our budgets? Well, that's what the text emphasizes to us tonight, that we are to be praying for our daily bread and for the things that we need of this earth on a daily basis. And to pray for our daily bread is to live out of the truth of God's sovereignty. It's to acknowledge then that He is sovereign over our lives and sovereign over what we have of this earth. He is the God who gives those things. The application of that truth for us is that we learn to pray. Prayer is a gift of God. It's a gift that God gives to us to teach us a right perspective of earthly things. It delivers us from depending on ourselves and teaches us, prayer does, to depend upon our Father. Prayer delivers us from the false idea that the greatest thrill on this earth is something that we can buy. And even praying to God about earthly things, the things that we need, keeps us from spending what we don't have. Prayer, in fact, teaches us that the greatest thing that we possess is that Jesus Christ brought us out of the debt of our sins. You see, prayer, as a gift of God to us, keeps our priorities straight. It keeps our priorities right. It keeps us focused on the things that we must be focused on in our lives. And that's important for us tonight as we gather for a prayer day worship service. To be reminded of the gift of prayer that God has given to us and what prayer is, or how prayer is a blessing to us. We see that in the text because this text that we consider tonight is a prayer of Agur. We know very little about Agur. In fact, we know that most of the book of Proverbs is the wisdom that comes to us through Solomon. But in Proverbs 30, this is a chapter on wisdom that comes to us through a man named Agur. This Agur may have been a contemporary of Solomon. We don't even know that for sure. But what we know of Agur is what we find here in the passage. One of the things that we know about Agur is that he was a child of God who was near to death. That's evident from verse 7 when he says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." Before he dies, Agur wants something from God. And what he wants is not things for himself. He's not focused on himself in this. He's not making a wish at the end of his life for the greatest thing that he could imagine on this earth. He's not asking for a Hawaiian vacation. He's not asking for a trip to Disney World. He's not asking for great riches that he could spend on different things before he dies. But instead, death had driven away the fog, so he was seeing things clearly, and he knows now what's truly important for himself. And as he prays, he is in tune with his own sinfulness. He knows the sinfulness of his own heart, which is why he prays for these two things that are found in verses 8 and 9. He prays, first of all, "Remove from me vanity and lies." Vanity is empty love for earthly things. This love for earthly things is nothing. And so he prays that this vanity would be removed from him, that he would not have this love for earthly things. He prays as well that lies would be taken away. Lies are the delusion that earthly things are the best. It's the delusion that earthly things can satisfy. They satisfy more than Jesus Christ and God's grace. And so he says, "Remove from me vanity and lies." And then he says, in addition to that, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." It's striking that in these petitions that Agur prays, that he's not concerned about the amount. It may seem that way. It may seem that way because he says, first of all, don't give me poverty, don't give me riches, but give me just what I need. It would seem that he's concerned with the amount of the things of this earth, but really he's not. That's not his focus in these petitions, and we'll see that tonight. That comes out of the reasons that he prays these petitions. What we see in those reasons is that essentially, Agur wants to be free from greed and covetousness. He wants to be freed from these sins in his heart as he views the things of this earth. He wants to have a right perspective of these things. And the perspective he wants is a perspective that's consistent with who God is. And so in the end, what Agur is praying for here is he's praying for contentment with whatever it is that God would give to him. So we keep that in mind tonight as we consider these petitions of Agur under the theme, praying for our daily needs. We look first at the striking petition, secondly at the desired contentment, and thirdly at the certain answer. We first want to consider tonight what Agur is requesting in these petitions. There are three petitions. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. There are three petitions there. The first is, don't give me poverty. What is poverty? Well, poverty is not something that must be judged by our own standards of poverty. Poverty is not simply having less than somebody that we would judge to be rich. Poverty is not falling under a certain income level that a government agency sets. It's not eating beans and francs instead of lobster and steak. It's not being unable to buy a smartphone or something like that. But instead, in the Bible, poverty is lacking the basic necessities of life so that clothes are threadbare, one doesn't have heat in his home, and he doesn't know where his next meal will be coming from. That's poverty. Poverty is having children going to bed hungry. It's not having money to buy the essentials of life on a daily basis. And the reality is that true poverty is not known by many people in our country. And most of us probably don't really know what poverty is like. Now, there may be some aspects of that poverty that we know, that we've come under. We can have changes that happen in our financial situation, maybe because there are medical bills. There's less work. There are expenses that are increasing while income stays the same or it decreases. These things can happen. But we can be very thankful that we have ways to find help then in those situations. We can go to family and we can go to the church as well. God's given us those blessings. But that's poverty. And Agur here prays then that he would not have that poverty, that God would remove from his life such poverty. We'll look at the reason for it in a moment. But striking. He prays, first of all, for that. No poverty. Secondly, Agur prays, don't give me riches. Well, what are riches? Again, we don't determine this by way of comparison, but we must look at it according to what the Bible says. Being wealthy is not simply being able to have a new car, living in a mansion. It's not simply being on a list of millionaires and billionaires. But according to the Bible, the rich are those who have more than they need. If we have more food than is enough for one meal, we're rich. If we have more than one pair of shoes or more than one change of clothing, we are rich. But this is a striking petition. We can maybe understand the first from an earthly perspective. No one wants poverty. But now to pray, don't give me riches? That's striking. In the world in which we live today, that's weird. That's strange. You don't want to be rich? You don't want to be wealthy? Agur would be considered a strange man in our world, probably in his own world as well from an earthly perspective. But even from a Christian perspective, we might think, really? Should we pray such a petition? I don't want to be rich. We might think, wouldn't it be good to be rich so that with the access that God gives, we can give to the church, we can give to the school, we can give to other charities as well. But Agur, as a wise man made wise by God himself, he knows the struggles of riches. And so he does not set his heart upon riches. And that's evident by this petition. That's why he prays it. He's not setting his heart on riches. What about us? Do we think that petition is strange? Do we harbor in our hearts love for riches? Are we consumed with wanting more? And is what we have never enough? Well, we must take a look then at this petition of Agur. Agur's praying here, don't give me riches. That's his petition. So first, don't give me poverty. Secondly, don't give me riches. Now the third is the positive. Agur prays positively, feed me with food convenient for me. What that means is, give me what I need. Give me just enough. That word convenient means an allotted portion. Give me my allotted portion. What it is that I need to live here on this earth. And when Agur says, feed me, he's not just talking about food. He's talking about all the basic necessities of life. Just like when Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just about food. It's about all the necessities of life. That's the idea here as well. This includes shelter. It includes clothing. Whatever we need to live on this earth and to serve God in our lives. But what is enough? Well, there's no one answer to that question. What is enough for one person may be different for another person, even at different times in which they live. For example, the needs of a small family are different than the needs of a large family. Or someone who has sickness, who has cancer, who has medical bills, their needs are going to be different than the needs of others. But Agur here is praying simply for the things that he needs. He asks God to provide that for him. Now, before we move on and look at the reason for his asking for these things, there are a couple of lessons that we learn from these petitions of Agur. The first lesson we learn is that Agur prays these petitions in the knowledge that the Lord is the one who determines what we receive. He is the one who's in control of all that we receive of the things of this earth. That's what's behind this petition. Agur knows that. He knows the sovereignty of God. He knows the providence of God. That's why prayer is the application of the truth of God's sovereignty and providence. God is the divine dispenser of all things. We read that in 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 and 12, where David confesses there, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Riches and honor come from him. He's the God who dispenses all of the things of this earth that we need. Agur understands the proper relationship between God, the things of this earth, and his own life. He understands that he has the things that he has not because he has worked so hard to get them and because he has a right to them. That's the way we easily think. I work hard for this. I deserve it. These things are mine. I have a right to these things. But Agur understands, no, that's not true. God sovereignly supplies what we need. He graciously and faithfully supplies all that we need, although we don't deserve it. In fact, we ought to see, as God's people, that everything we have of this earth is a gift of God's grace to us. But not only is God the one who dispenses what we need, but he is the one who determines exactly what we need. That's part of the idea of what Agur prays there in his prayer when he says, feed me with food convenient for me, the allotted portion. That portion is the portion that God himself determines. He shows what is right and what is the right amount. Agur here humbles himself before God. Agur is not trying to tell God what he should have. He's submitting to the way that God allocates the things of this earth. And that's what we learn too. We must learn to submit to what God gives to us, being assured that God is our faithful Father and he will give to us our allotted portion, the things that we need for our lives here on this earth. So that's what we learn, first of all, from these petitions. God is the one who gives us all that we need. We are dependent upon him. But secondly, we learn then from this prayer of Agur that we are to pray to God for the things that we need. It's through prayer that God supplies our needs. It's through prayer that we learn not to trust in our own understanding, but to trust in God alone and what He gives. In prayer, we lay before God all our cares, our anxieties, all our worries, with the assurance that God will care for us, He will hear us and answer us, and He will provide what we need. So that when the bills begin to mount, we ought to go to God in prayer. And when we see that there are many things it seems like maybe we can't pay for, that the first place we ought to go is to God Himself, asking that He would show us the way and that He would supply our every need. But just because we go to God in prayer doesn't mean then that we sit on our hands. The right response to this is that we also get to work. Slothfulness and laziness are great sins. We must not be lazy. We must not think that we can just pray to God and He's going to make what we need to fall into our laps. But the way in which He supplies is through hard work. Agur knew that too, that God would supply what he needed through that hard work. So as we work, let us pray, remembering that we are dependent upon our God. But as we said, the focus of Agur's prayer is not the amount. It's not the amount. Agur here is praying for contentment. He is praying for an amount. There's no doubt about it. He's saying, don't give me poverty. Don't give me riches. But he's praying for that in the knowledge of his own sinfulness. He knows the struggle to view material things in a right way. And that's why he prays to God. That's evident from the reasons for which he prays these petitions as they are found in verse 9. And what we find here is that Agur battles in his own heart with the very things we battle with. Greed, materialism, taking for granted the things that God gives, worry, anxiety about the things of this earth. Agur is a man who knows his own sinful nature. Now, part of that clarity that comes to him is probably the clarity of facing the reality of death. But still, he knows the reality of his own sinfulness. That's even the way he begins in chapter 30. When he says in verse 2, I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. He's a humble man. He knows his own weakness and sin. And so his prayer not only arises in the knowledge of God, but his prayer arises out of the knowledge that he has of himself and his own weakness and sin. And so as he prays in the knowledge of his weakness and sin, he says, don't give me poverty, don't give me riches, give to me exactly what I need. He prays that God would not give him poverty for this reason, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. Agur does not pray this petition that he would not have poverty because he's afraid of poverty itself. That might be a reason that we would pray that petition. Who wants to be poor? Who wants to have to go to others for help? There's a stigma in our day about being poor. No one wants to be poor. That's not why Agur prays this petition. And as we consider that, we should remember even our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when it came to the things of this earth, was a poor man. Remember what he said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He was poor when it came to the things of this earth as he lived on this earth. So we should not think that poverty itself is a bad or evil thing. But Agur knows that if he is given poverty, this would set his heart on those things. The danger for him, the temptation for him, is that he would live his life in covetousness. The spiritual danger is envy, bitterness, and resentment. That when he would see others and what they have, he would be envious of them. And as that envy took a hold of his heart, he would begin to be bitter because they had those things and he didn't. And he would begin to resent them because they had them and he didn't. The danger for Agur, he knew, was that he would think then that to have the things of this life would be better than to have God himself. You see, Agur, he understands the danger for him. It's not just himself, but it's himself in relationship with God. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 9, "Lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." He sees the heart struggle for him, that it would result in action, that he might steal then to have the things that he needs. And then in doing so, he would take the name of his God in vain. It's very personal. He's completely aware of his relationship with God. And if he lives in covetousness, if he lives in that envy and bitterness and resentment, that would affect his relationship with God. Because if he lived that way, what he would be saying is, "God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you've messed up. Those things that other people have, I should have those things. You messed up, God, in what you have done." You see, that's the great evil of covetousness. It's saying to God he doesn't know what he's doing. It's saying that he's not sovereign, that he's not right in the way that he dispenses the things of this earth. And so, Agur then prays, "Don't lead me into poverty. I know how weak I am. I know the covetousness of my own heart. I'm too weak to handle this. Therefore, don't give me poverty." This weakness that Agur expresses is a weakness that we should be aware of in ourselves. There may be even a certain perspective from which sometimes you would think it would be nice to be poor. There are a lot of decisions that we have. The more that we have, the more decisions we have to make. And sometimes we might think the responsibility is too great. Maybe it would be better just to have nothing and to live day by day and hand to mouth and so on. But that's not the danger itself. The problem is not the thing itself. The problem is found in our own hearts. And that's what Agur is focused on here, the problem in his own heart. Are we envious of others? Do we begin to be filled with bitterness and resentment because others have more? And there are things that we can't have and we have to say no to because we don't have the money for those things. The greatness of that sin is that we're saying to God that he is wrong in what he's done. And then we're taking the name of God in vain. We have to pray with Agur that God would protect us from this sin. We can't stand against it ourselves. It's not just a matter of our own willpower. It's praying to God, "God, in the dispensing of the things of this earth that I have, protect me from this sin of covetousness, and even protect me from it in this way, that I'm not given this poverty so that I would serve and honor thee in a right way with the things that thou hast given." Secondly, he prays that God would not give him riches for this reason: "Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord?" Agur puts his finger upon the great danger of riches. The great danger of riches is that we boast in what we have earned. The great danger of riches is that we get a big head. That we have determined then that these riches come from ourselves and all of our hard work. And because of that, we begin to trust more and more in ourselves instead of in God. And the great danger is that we would say then, "Who is the Lord?" Of course, we wouldn't say that outright. That wouldn't be our confession, but our actions would show that. We wouldn't be praying for the things that we need then. Who's the Lord? Well, the reality is the danger for us is we think, "I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord of my life. I provide what I need." Agur, understanding that great danger, prays that God would not give him riches. Again, with the words of Agur, We have a mirror into our own hearts and souls, don't we? With all of the wealth that we have in this land, this is one of the great dangers for us. And I believe that's why, at least a part of the reason why it is, that there has been some economic uncertainty in the past few years to remind us all that we have comes from God. God's in control of the economy. God's in control of the weather. We need to remember that after a year last year when there was drought over much of the Midwest. And the crops were not what they have been in years past. That's just one example of a God teaching us that He is the one who's in control of all these things. So that we would not begin to say, "Who is the Lord? I don't need Him. I'm fine on my own." Also, there's the great danger that we would find satisfaction in things. Because of all that we would have, we would say, "I'm happy. I have joy because of all that I have." Our joy and satisfaction is not about how much. Our joy and satisfaction is found in the God with whom we have a relationship of friendship. So we see in these petitions that in the end, Agur is praying for contentment. What is contentment? Contentment is the confession, "I have enough." But saying "I have enough" is not, first of all, looking at the things of this earth and saying "I have enough." That's part of it. But it's saying "I have enough because I have God. I have enough because I belong to Jesus Christ. I have life in Him. In Him I have everything that I truly need. For He is my Savior who has rescued me from the bondage of my sin. I'm freed from that sin. He gives me life with God, and that's a life that I have forevermore. True contentment is found only in knowing the cross. It's found in seeing the cross. True contentment is being Christ-centered and cross-centered. It's seeing the cross of Jesus Christ for what it is. And then it's having a cross-centered and Christ-centered perspective on everything else in life. And that should be our perspective of the things of this life as well. True contentment says, "I have enough in Jesus Christ. And whatever it is that God has given to me, I have enough. Because He's the one who gives it. And He gives it with His blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ." So that when we look at our bank accounts, and many of us can do that on a daily basis if we want, on our smartphones or our computers, when we look at our finances, we look at our checking accounts, we look at our savings accounts, when we look at them, we must look at them in the light of the cross. We must see them in the light of what we have in Jesus Christ. We must see them in the light of God's sovereignty, that He is the one who has supplied these things, and what He supplies is enough. It's remembering as we look at our bank accounts, these things don't satisfy. And the things that I can buy with that money, these things don't satisfy. They never will. They will never be enough, no matter how much you have. But what satisfies, what truly satisfies, is the God who gives those things. Our perspective ought to be, the God who gives the things that we have is better than the things that we have. We might say, "Of course," but do our lives show that in our dependence upon Him? Following the example of Agur, let us then pray for contentment. Because contentment itself is more important than having riches. To have contentment itself is to be rich. Contentment is riches. Because contentment is the gift of God. It's a gift of His grace to us. And it's a gift of God's grace that grows in us in the way of prayer. And so as Agur is praying, he's growing in that contentment. Contentment with what God has given, whether it's much or whether it's little. His heart is more and more focused on the God who gives. And so may that be true of us, that we pray and our hearts are more and more focused on Him. And may God give us this grace of contentment. That's what Agur's prayer teaches us in the end. To pray for contentment. And as we pray then, we can have the assurance that God will supply all our needs. There's a certain answer for us when we pray this, even as there was a certain answer for Agur. We pray in the assurance that God will supply all the things that we need. We know that. He will. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that faith? I'm not talking about just right now, but when you're looking at the bills and the anxieties building within. I'm talking about that when you see your bank account shrinking and their anxiety bills then. Do we believe that God will supply our every need? When we have to write a checkout for a kingdom cause, when we want to support the preaching of the gospel, but there's shortages other places, or there's school tuition that has to be paid, and how are we going to take care of these other bills? And the anxiety begins to build. Do we believe that God is the one who will supply our every need? Remember, our faith clings to what God's word says. And it says, first of all, He's able to do it. He's a God who's able to do above what we ask or think, as we read in Ephesians 3, verse 20. He is the God who is able to do what seems impossible, which is evident from our very salvation. He makes the dead sinner alive. Nothing is impossible with Him. In addition, He's a faithful Father. He's a Father that loves us with an everlasting love. When we ask Him for something and we need it, He's not going to refuse us what we need. That's what we read just recently in Matthew 7. And you find that there in that beautiful example of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, verses 11 through 11 and 12. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? I'm sorry, the verses that go before too, the questions asked, what man is there of you whom if the son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And then that verse there, God our Father knows how to give good gifts. If we as fathers who are sinful know, He's the perfect Father who does. He will give us all that we need. We do not know exactly what He will give to us, but our confidence is this: He will give us what we need. He may give some riches. He may give others poverty. That's His prerogative to do whatever His will is for our lives. He knows better than we what we need. But He will certainly give to us the things that we need in our lives. And we receive those things in the assurance that what He does is best for us. Not only are we assured tonight then that God will hear our prayers and give to us what we need, but we can be assured that when we cry out asking God for contentment, asking that God would protect us and preserve us from the temptation of these sins, that He will do that as well. That was Agur's concern. It wasn't the amount. His concern was his own heart, that he would have a right perspective of earthly things, that he would be content and not covetous. Agur prayed to God in the assurance that God would give him that grace, the grace of contentment. May we be assured of that too, that He will give the grace of contentment no matter what it is that He sends. And He will guard us and protect us. If He gives poverty, and there's not much compared to everybody else, in fact, we need to be praying, Father, guard my heart, that I not live in covetousness, and He will. Or if He gives much, that God would guard us from thinking that we've earned it ourselves, it's ours, and we have a right to it. That He would guard us so that we would keep trusting in Him for all that we need, and then He would give us grace so that we would use it in a right way. We have more responsibility the more we have, but God will give us grace to use it in a right way. And He will give us grace then, no matter whether we have much or little, to live in this grace of contentment, knowing that all that we need is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. So on this prayer day, as we consider this prayer of Agur, may this be our prayer too. Give us contentment. And maybe learn to live in contentment and grow in that contentment as well. That contentment that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are thankful for this word tonight. And we pray that this prayer may be upon our hearts and then upon our lips as well. Father, wilt thou guard us from the sins of covetousness. Guard us from the sins of self-reliance and self-dependence. And may we realize how dependent we are upon thee. And may we realize, too, we have all that we need. We've received all that we need in our Lord Jesus Christ. So strengthen us in contentment, that we would live in the peace and the knowledge of what we have in Christ. Dismiss us with thy blessing. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing Psalter number 97. We sing here of how God cares for us and gives to us all that we need. Notice stanza 4, they borrow oft and pay not back. That's talking there of the wicked. But righteous men do nothing lack and give with gracious hand. Those cursed by him shall be destroyed, but such as have his grace enjoyed, they shall possess the land.